We're going to continue with our series on acceleration this morning. I gave you many examples from the scriptures that it is in God's sovereignty and it is in His perfect will that you always move faster and faster. That's why it's called moving from glory to glory, victory to victory. So it is in the intent of God that your life should be moving at a quicker and quicker pace because He gives you better promises. If anything is better, it should be moving quicker. So, God can take 1,000 years and He can make it one day. Is that right? He can answer you before you call. So, how many of you know that is the sovereignty of God to move quicker and quicker? He can take the harvest that is destined for the 7th month and shift it into the 3rd month. This is the God we serve. Now, that is His prerogative for acceleration. That is called eternal. Everyone say eternal. But understand that you live in a temporal. And because you live in a temporal, you have to take eternal things and pull it into a temporal zone. That is why you live from the heavens, you never live from the earth. So everything in the heavens is to govern and sustain your life on the earth. So while you are living in a temporal place, the Bible will tell you in the book of Ecclesiastes, eternity is in your heart. So eternal things are always should be always on your mind. And therefore, you should never live by temporal things, but by eternal things. So, we have to examine certain eternal things that God has given us, because the prerogative of God is that you would always move faster and faster. But while you live on this earth, there are many things that you face that make you slow down. So, it takes you a long time to arise from whatever is slowing you down. Some of you are battling still to get up in the morning. Just to engage the day, because you are so weighed with so many things that you are facing. And therefore, you miss this opportunity to become the light, the lamp, the city on a hill, all the things that God describes about light. And I shared with you our light is on the first day. And last week we shared on the principles of acceleration. The first principle is the principle of first things. You remember that? And we shared how when you live from the first day, what was created on the first day? Light was created on the first day. Man was created on the 6th day. So what was created last was always intended to be first. That's the principle of first and last. So in the heart of God, man was always intended to be light to the world. Okay? So how do we position ourselves to accelerate? And we have to examine certain case studies in the scriptures of how our lives can be upgraded, how our lives can move quicker, how things can accelerate faster and faster. And I believe that as we engage the word over the next couple of weeks, you are going to see some tremendous acceleration in your own life. I want you to believe God that supernatural things are going to happen to you. I said to you, you're going to get upgrades, you're going to get promotions, you're going to get cars, you're going to get houses, you're going to get property. If you don't want to believe it, that's okay, but I believe it. And I've already seen it. I've seen God already do some extraordinary things in my life just because I believe the word. And as I speak to you, I want you to believe it. There are jobs you never even thought you're going to get. It's going to land on your table. Yes. Amen? You're just going to believe it. I believe that your body can receive accelerated healing as the word comes to you. And you must just believe this word. As I share it with you, you just believe it, receive it, keep declaring it, keep speaking it. You can have anything as you keep speaking it. You got to keep declaring the word of God. Everything you say, it can happen. Amen? I shared with you about how nothing on this earth happens without words. The economy of words are too powerful. And so you better just start using the right words. Start choosing your communication well. Start making sure that your language was filled with life. That every environment you craft will always be filled with life. Even though situations don't seem like that, you never operate from a temporal brain. You keep declaring what is already locked in the eternal, and at some point it will manifest as daily bread. You got it? Okay? So as we share these principles over the next couple of weeks, just grab hold of them. Begin to speak it. Begin to act it out in your family. Begin to believe that it's going to happen. And I believe that I'm going to live to see it. Amen? Okay? So this is not only for me. This is for all of us. All right? Now, There are certain case studies in the scriptures of where you will see immense acceleration that takes place. For instance, I shared with you how when the nation of Israel left Egypt, in 24 hours they shifted from slaves to masters because God gave them a specific word through the servant Moses to plunder the Egyptians overnight. That means when they went and knocked on the Egyptian door, the Egyptian asked them, "Would you like silver or gold?" And immediately they received it, and they plundered them in 24 hours and left Egypt. So, do you know that there are certain things that can just happen overnight for you? When Ruth positioned herself at the feet of Boaz, she was a widowed woman, she was poor, she had nothing. Overnight she owned the same land, just in one night. So I want you to know that there are certain things that happen so quickly. Now, the text that we want to examine maybe for about 2 or 3 weeks is John chapter 2, which is the text we are very familiar with. I've preached it to you a few times, but I want to apply it specifically to the principle of acceleration. Everyone knows that in John chapter 2, number one, it is the first miracle that Jesus performs. And the Bible says it is how he manifested his glory. It is the first miracle that he performs and how he manifested his glory. And we know that the miracle is the maturity from water to wine in a very short space of time. Okay? The maturity of water to wine in a very short space of time. Yesterday I was watching television on the news, and they sold a bottle of wine for $2 million. I was telling Michelle, are those people mad? $2 million for 12 liters of wine in one bottle. That's what the person paid for the wine. Now, you need to know that in order for water to become wine, there are certain principles and the accelerated process of maturity, because we know that wine takes a very long time to mature. But in this particular miracle that Jesus performs, locked in it are very key eternal principles that we must learn how to bring into our temporal realm to see acceleration take place. So you got to examine the text with open eyes from the Spirit to see it. Amen? So when you read John chapter 2, verse number 1, it will tell you there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, but it was on a specific day. The first thing it tells you is on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. I'll have to show you why the mother is there later on. That will take us a couple of weeks to decipher, but we'll figure that out, right? The mother of Jesus was there. Now, firstly, this is the first thing you got to note. The wedding is held on a specific day. Okay? The day is called the third day. And we know that the third day for us, we are not called a third day people, you are a first day people. You must understand that. The third day specifically for us is about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And when you go and do case studies of the Old Testament, you will find there were significant things that happened on the third day. For instance, when Abraham was instructed to go and offer his son, he only found the place where to offer his son on the third day. It was a specific day. You will find that David, once he was anointed king of Israel, for 3 days he spent feasting and celebrating with the entire nation of Israel. So, what is the third day for us? The third day for us is simply this. It means the appointed time of God. So, this is what you need to understand. In terms of your acceleration, there's an appointed time. Hello? There is an appointed time. There is what you call the seasons of God. So the Bible uses the word time, or it uses the word seasons. The Greek word is the word kairos. Everyone say kairos. And kairos simply means God's appointed time. So if you read verses like Psalms 102 verse 13, it will tell you, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come." So do you know there's an appointed time where God favors you, where God places his seal of approval on your life? It's a season of your life. Now, all of us go through seasons in our lives. We all face different kinds of seasons. The entire earth operates on cycles and seasons. Everything runs in orbit. The function of the tides of the sea, the movements of the earth, the discovery of, or should I say, the momentum of the earth in terms of day and night, all is controlled by seasons. It's called day, it's called night, it's called time, it's called winter, summer, autumn, spring, etc. All of these control the way in which we live and how we operate. It will determine whether you will be on holiday or whether you will be working, etc. It will determine when you sleep and when you get up, depending on which part of the world you are in. So everything is controlled by that. So do you know, in the eternal realm of God, there are also seasons of God. Now, in our time frame, as we are operating in this time frame, God takes what we call a kairos and he inserts it into the chronos of time. So we live in chronology of time. That means we live in hours and minutes, days and nights. That's chronology of time. So God takes what we call, what you call his set time, his appointed time, and he fits it into your time. Now, when he fits it into your time, you have to be able to discern. Hello? You have to be able to discern what time is it on God's clock. Because if you don't discern what time is it on God's clock, this is what he will call you. The Bible will tell you in Luke 12, verse 56, hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? Now, the word time there is the word kairos. It is, means this season. Now, he's talking to them, but do you know, the one who represents the time stands there. That means they could not discern that the very person they have been praying for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years was standing in front of them. So, the very appointed time, the very season that they needed, the very person that they needed who could change the course of their life was in their midst. But they could not see it. Are you listening? Okay. So why do people take so long to arise and to shine? Because they cannot discern the times of God. The seasons of God. Now, the way to do it is, he says you can look at the sky and you can see the times and the seasons of the sky and the days and the nights, etc. So when you look around you, you have to study natural things to begin to know what is the time frame of God in terms of what is he inserting into our time. So when you see all kinds of things that are happening around you, you must know what time it is on God's clock. So, do you know that you can miss the principle of acceleration and favor because you don't understand what time is it on God's clock? Amen? Okay? So, it is essential to understand the times of God. Now, you can say, but how do I do that? How is that possible? How do I discern what is the time on God's clock? You see, even the disciples couldn't do it. Until Jesus said to them in Acts chapter 1 verse 7 and 8. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father had put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That means for you to discern the seasons of God, you need his Spirit. For you to have an inclination within your heart of what is the season of God, what time is it in God's time, I got to discern it by the Spirit. I got to know the times and the seasons of God by the Spirit. So, do you know David knew a time that he had to leave Saul's house? Because there were certain things that were orchestrated against him that gave him an inclination. God had to speak to Jacob in a dream. And when he had the dream and God said to him, listen, it's time to leave this place and go and start your own household. And he had to leave that place and start his own household. So Jesus knew the time when he would be glorified as the Son of God. All of these men knew the time and the seasons of God. So one of the ways in which to receive the times of God is by the Spirit. But do you know it's also by food? The book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 45, the Bible will tell you, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord had made ruler over his household? And this is what it says, to give them meat in due kairos. To give them meat. Now, it's not milk. Let me reiterate that. It is not milk. In order for you to receive a season, you need meat. Amen? Otherwise, you'll be eating vegetables right now. Let's leave that. You're supposed to be eating the meat of God's word. And I shared to you why God places you in a household. We are all born as children. His intention is that you will become the sons of God. To do that, he puts you in a household where a servant gives you meat. Everyone say meat. But you need meat in due season. Are you getting me? You don't take meat and you give it to I saw a baby yesterday who was 2 weeks old. Okay? He will die. But as you grow in the kingdom of God, you need meat to discern the seasons of God. So as you read his word, you will be able to decipher what time is it on God's clock. Now, here's a shocking thing. What if I tell you that if you live only by seasons, you will constrict yourself? There's a place where you can live beyond seasons. Okay? Because when Jesus was asking for figs on the fig tree, it was not the season for figs. So, do you know that his season does not synchronize with your season? It's totally out of time. So, when I say you can live beyond seasons, when you read Ezekiel 47, there's a river that goes, that touches all the nations. And the Bible will tell you on the banks of this river, there are trees. And they bear fruits for 12 months. That means you can eat lychees the whole year. You can have mangoes the whole year. Come on now. You don't have to import it. So, do you know there's a place now in God? If you place yourself on the bank, you can bear things out of season. Now, if you go to Revelation 22, it will tell you there's also a river and it's in the middle of the city. And we know that the city is called the holy city. That city is the church. And where is it coming from? It's coming from God himself. The church is referred to by many metaphors. One of the metaphors of the church is that it's called the city. And in the middle of the city, there's a river. And on either side of the river, there are trees. One tree is called the tree of life. And the Bible says the tree of life is on both sides of the river. How many of you know the image of the tree is on the other side? Yes. And who is the image? You and I are created in the image of God. Now, if you are created in the image of the tree of life, which is Christ himself, then you can bear fruit all year round. That means favor is not something that designated to a season. It is just something that is on you all the time. Because you are now living in Christ and not by the season. Until you learn to live in Christ and live from Christ, you will consistently live by a season. Everyone's with me? So you're going to wait from one kairos to the next kairos to the next kairos when the kairos is actually him. Okay, you'll wake up tomorrow and hear what I said. Now, I want to live like that. So there's a place. So doesn't Psalms 1 make sense now? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, etc., etc., etc. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night, and he is planted. Where? By the rivers. And his leaves shall not wither, and he bears fruit continually. So, that means, if I want to discern the appointed time and live in the season of God, and be a person that is bearing fruit continuously, I've got to plant myself somewhere. And you've got to plant yourself. And the word there, rivers, is not as you understand it, rivers. It's called a channel of water. That means there's a channel through which the water is coming to you. And you've got to plant yourself there. Fix yourself there. Now, when you plant yourself there, your leaves will not wither. Now, if the leaves, how do you know there's fruit on the tree? First thing, you look at the leaves. If the leaves are all green, then that means the tree is going to bear. It's going to bear fruit. So, or if you look at the flowers and you know the flower is going to bud because the leaves are all green. So if your leaves are not withering, that means you're always green. Which means you're always bearing fruit. And it's simply because you are planted. So, what's the principle in the context of acceleration? Very simple, brethren. Plant yourself. Otherwise, it's going to take you a long time to match the two of arise and shine. So, you'll only plant yourself when you want to arise because you've got a problem. Lots of people love church because they have problems. They don't love church because it's a place of community. And it's a place of strength. And it's a place of oneness. And it's a place of wholeness. And it's a place where I fix myself next to a channel. And I receive consistent strength to my root system. What makes the tree flourish and makes it bear fruit? Its root system. Its root system is connected to the water. Now, the root system of your life is the foundations of your life. What does your life stand on? What is it built on? What keeps you upright? What keeps you strong? What keeps your leaves green? And when you are connected to a channel that's delivering word to you in a season, your leaves must always be green. It should always be bearing fruit. Your life should be getting better and better, faster and faster, quicker and quicker. Are we all together? So, when I say appointed time, you need to know that when we say third day, the time is appointed for you when you decide to make an appointment by fixing yourself. Are you getting me? Otherwise, you'll just wait from season to season for things to happen. And it'll take longer and longer and longer. Okay? So, in this case, Jesus is coming to this wedding on a very specific day. It's the third day, which is a reference to an appointed time. So, what do I need to do if I want acceleration? It's very, very simple. Just plant yourself by a river. Hello? And I want you to know, the season has changed. You got to know what has changed. You got to know that church has shifted from institution to family. You got to know that church has shifted from members to a principle of sonship. You got to know those things. You've got to know that church has shifted from administration to fathering. You have to know all of those things. That church has shifted from a singing focus to a word-centered church. If churches haven't made that migration, there are people that are going to slow down. Are we all together? Okay? And you need to connect with a servant that can give you food in due season. We have done that text. It's called Kingdom laborers. You can get it on the internet. Second thing. Now, John chapter 2, verse number 1. On the third day, there was a wedding. Everyone say wedding. There was a wedding. Now, what is a wedding? We all know that a wedding is a very important thing, just like we are having a wedding in our church next week. Now, the environment where Jesus is coming to, the environment where Jesus is coming to. Remember that, number one, this miracle is taking place on a day. Have you got that? Second, it's taking place in a specific environment. So I want to talk to you about the environment. So when we talk about acceleration, you've got to firstly know the appointed time. You understand that? Secondly, you've got to know the environment. Now, when we talk about the environment, what is the environment of this? The environment is a wedding feast. Okay? And the wedding feast simply means to us, this is a location of covenant, oneness, joining, celebration. So where does acceleration take place? It takes place in an environment of joinings, of oneness, an environment of covenant, in an environment where there's community, in an environment where there's celebration. Are we understanding? So it will take place in a covenantal environment. Because a wedding or a marriage is a symbol of a covenant. It is a symbol of oneness. The two shall become one. And we know that God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. So, how many of you know it's not two people becoming united, it's two people becoming one. You got to know the difference. Two people becoming united means they'll pay their tithe separately. Two people becoming one means they'll pay it together. I said that to you the last time. Everything becomes one. So, on the principle of oneness, the principle of joinings, the principle of community, this is the environment that is created. And it is in this location that you find the acceleration of water to wine takes place. Now, if I want to study oneness, I've got to go back to the Old Testament and study a very important location. Because locations in the scriptures refer to certain spiritual positions that we need to maintain in our temporal zone. So when I draw from the eternal zone, there are certain spiritual locations that the Bible gives us that I need to position myself in to receive certain things. Okay? So when you go and study the life of Abraham, and you know that Abraham did not have a son. Abraham was lifeless at that time in terms of his genealogy. He had no one to bear his name. He had no one to carry his name from generation to generation. And in Genesis chapter 12, he's told to leave his father's house. And then in Genesis 13, he comes out of Egypt and he locates himself in a place called Hebron. It was originally called Kirjat Arba. And he goes and he finds himself in a place called Hebron. And Hebron simply means the place of joinings, associations. It also means alliances, a place of community. So, if I look at Hebron, I want you to know Hebron is a covenantal place. Are we all together? Now, you've got to import truths from the Old Testament and bring it into the New and find out how does it apply. If I'm in that environment, certain things must happen according to the Scriptures. Amen? So, let's first look at, according to the Old Testament, what happened to Hebron, or what happened in the place called Hebron. Certain things that happened. This is a very, very large topic, so I'm just going to condense a few case studies for you very quickly. The first thing, Abraham was in Hebron, and while he was there, I want you to know that the Lord visited him. And the Lord visited him in Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 to 3. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant." Now, when Abraham saw the three men, he addressed them in the spirit of oneness. Because he did not call them lords. He said, "My Lord." So, you see, the place confers something onto a people. When you locate yourself in the community of Hebron, you don't see three people. You see one person. Are you getting it? So, when you say you're coming to the wedding feast, it's two people becoming one. But I'm talking about a community of people that know how to find a location in the spirit called one. In that location, man, acceleration is possible. Hello? Just take your own marriage. The moment you decide you are two, how slow are you? Imagine if you go now, you go to the shop, and here you want to decide to buy a TV. Okay? And she says, "No, we need a 55-inch TV. And you say, "No, it's too big for the wall. We need a 40-inch TV. You slow down. You won't even walk out from the store with a shop with a TV. But the moment there's agreement, come on, the decision is quick. "Yeah, this is the TV. You like it? Yes, okay. Pay, let's go." But if there's some disagreement, doubt, indecisive, etc., in other words, there's no oneness, what happens? Okay? You might never even buy a TV. Or you'll end up, it'll be a bit costly, you'll have to buy two TVs. You getting what I'm saying? But here's Abraham, he confers something in the spirit by the declaration of Lord. When he's saying, I'm in a place, I'm in a community, I'm in a location where everything that I see, I do not see separately, I see it as one. And so he does not see three people, he sees oneness. In terms of when he addresses the three men, he calls them Lord. One word. Elohim. And when he addresses them as Lord, you know that they begin to speak to him. And this is what happens. In this location called Abraham, called Hebron. So, they said to him, where is Sarah your wife? That's in verse 9. And so he said, yeah, she's in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you. Now, it's not saying, and they said. It's saying, and he said. Can you see the oneness now? And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now, Sarah was listening in the tent door which was behind them. It is in this location that they received the promise of a son. Is that right? Sarah was very old to conceive, but God decelerated the aging process and accelerated a womb to give birth to a son. Come on now. So, do you know that he accelerated Zoe life inside of her to bring potential in her spiritual womb to birth something, which is the promised son? Now, let me say this to you. There are many things within the womb of your spirit. Hello? It's within the womb of your spirit. That means there are gifts, there are talents, there are words, there are creative things. There are all kinds of things that are lying dormant within your spirit. The moment you enter an environment where there's a culture of oneness, a community of oneness, where a servant is giving you a word that is in due season, there is every right for that thing to come out. And quick. Now, here's a lady who has been waiting 75 years to have a child. Okay? And the fulfillment of that took place only another 25 years later. But she was in an environment called Hebron, where she was able to receive not three lords, but one lord. And when she received the spirit of oneness, she was able to produce the one son that they waited for. Everything is connected to oneness. Now, what is Hebron to us? Hebron to us is a community of people that believe, say, and do the same thing. Let me repeat myself. Hebron is a community of people that believe, say, and do the same thing. The word shama in the Hebrew means to listen, hear, and do. Are you listening? Okay. So, Hebron is this kind of community which has the potential to break your barrenness. All you have to do is become one with it. So, in our context, what does it mean? You can be in church, but you can be like disjointed. I mean, right now I'm talking to you, you might be thinking about your curry at home or something. You're disjointed from the environment. Now, while you are disjointed from the environment, you're missing your acceleration. You're missing the ability to bring forth something. To birth forth, you are missing the ability to break your barrenness. And so you're wondering why the other guys are like having some kinds of breakthroughs and here you are, you're lagging behind. No, you've got to catch up. Yeah. You've got to fit yourself into what's happening. Are you listening to me? Don't be the crumb that's left over. No, fit yourself into the loaf. This is not sliced bread. This is unsliced bread. Are we together? Okay. So, understand that if we say Hebron, it is a place where your barrenness can be broken. Doesn't matter how long it is. Doesn't matter what period of time it has taken to you. But it can happen immediately. And I declare to you that if you come into the spirit of oneness and you come into a community of alliances and covenantal relationships, of joinings, and simply put, it's called the body of Christ. And we are a fragment of the figment of our imagination of the body. And if we can start by just getting the joinings right, let me make it even more fragmented. You got to start with your family unit. Let me fragment it even more. You got to start with your marriage. The basics of oneness. Basics, basics, basics. Called two. For anything to be a relationship, it's two people. You can't have a relationship with yourself. Some people can do that, but you can't have a relationship with yourself. You are an eternal being. For the basics of relationship, you need two people. Is that right? Bring it down to your own marriage. And if you want to see deceleration in your life, just have a fight. Just have disagreements. Just have continual problems in your marriage. And you'll find out your life will slow down. You may have everything else around you, but you are slowing down in terms of producing things according to the Spirit. Because all you're trying to do is get up from your marriage problems. That's all you're trying to do. You've got no time to shine. Because you've got no light to give. Are we listening? That's why marriage is work in progress 100 years. It's work in progress all your life. You've got to know that. Put a sign on your head, under construction, your whole life. Just leave it there. In fact, if you want to have a tattoo, go do that. Lots of people having tattoos are lying to them. Go put that sign over there. Are you listening to me? If you get the oneness of marriage life, it just fits. You can fit into any, and when you'll discern oneness, it's so easy. You'll come into a community where you can see it. Otherwise, you'll fight it, and otherwise, you'll be like bacteria in an environment. You say, "Hey, I don't fit yet," because you're not used to it. So you'll fight it, you resist it, you want to be away from it, you want to stay away from it. Because it's something that you can't feel or you can't sense. Because in your own private zone, you're struggling with it. But listen, that barrenness can be broken. All you got to do is say, "Man, I want to fit in. I want to get in. I got to keep declaring the word. I got to keep saying positive things. Even if my wife can't cook, I will declare she is a chef of great potential." You know, say some things positive. Hello? Keep declaring some positive stuff. I meet too many spouses that only have negative things to say. No, sometimes sit down, write down all the good things about your spouse. Think about that. Yes, there are some bad stuff, we know that. But rather focus on all the good things and keep talking about that kind of stuff. And listen, what you say, you'll get. Yes. What you say, you will get. If you keep saying stuff about your spouse, that's what you're going to get. So change your language. Mind your language. Do something about your language. Change it. And try it. And listen, it takes strength to do that. It shows, it takes maturity to do that. It takes a son to do that. That you don't see according to the natural realm, you see according to the eternal realm, and you say, "Lord, I want that." Imagine if God made you like Isaiah and told you to go and marry a prostitute. And every time she ran away, you had to go and catch her and bring her back. And he says, "That's how Israel was to me. They prostituted themselves, but I called my prophet to go. Keep bringing her back, keep bringing her back." And he says, "Israel, that's how you was. But I kept running after you." Are you listening? Come on, man. Your problems are small compared to Israel and God. You can handle it. But it's in the spirit of Hebron. It's a location you got to find in the spirit. And begin to say, "Listen, I want to build this thing. I got to get the first principle right. I'm going to plant myself. I want to connect myself to a spiritual father. I want to land myself at a place where my root system is strong. Where I'm going to get some water and I'm going to get some meat so that I can make it." Are we all together? Okay, this is what Hebron is about. A community, an alliance, a covenant. A people that are strong in their belief system. Now, Hebron was appointed as a city of refuge. Let's read the book of Joshua chapter 20, verse number 2. I would encourage you to read the whole chapter, but I'm just selecting the verses just to help you understand the point. God, through Moses, was told the people that God said they must appoint cities of refuge. In fact, even if you murdered someone unintentionally, if you went to the city and you were under the high priest, you were safe. No one could touch you. The moment you came outside the gate of this city, anyone could kill you, even your accuser. Okay? But as long as you were within the gate of these cities, there were six cities, but I'm just choosing Hebron. As long as you were within the gate, you had refuge. You were safe. So, in Joshua chapter 20, verse number 2, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses. So verse number 7 says, and they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in the mountains of Naphtali, Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah. So how many of you know, Hebron was a place of safety. It was a place of refuge. It was a place where it doesn't matter what sin you committed, you could run to it. Now, Joab knew that. And when he wanted to kill Abner, because Abner killed his brother, this is what he did. When Abner went into the city of refuge, Joab lured him out of the gate. And the moment he stepped out of the gate, he stuck the dagger into him. You can go and read the story. And he killed him because he came out of the place of refuge. As long as he was within that gate, Joab could not touch him. But he lured him out. And the moment he was outside, he killed him. He avenged the blood of his brother. I want you to understand, when I talk to you about Hebron, when I talk to you about the wedding feast, when I talk to you about a community of people that understand oneness, it is a place of safety. That means your most sacred sin must be safe. Although we don't believe in giant secret sins and all of that. But doesn't matter what it is. In that environment, it must be safe. That is why gossip should not be found in the place of oneness. In the place of a city called Hebron, it is a refuge city. Why do churches split? Why do people leave churches? Because sometimes they go and confess something to the pastor inadvertently tells the elder tells his wife, and then you know what happened. That's it. And before you know it, the church is having a field day. Because that place is supposed to be a city of refuge. I don't want to go to a place where I don't feel safe. That place must be a place where I know that I am secure. That if I had to confess my sin to someone, everyone is not going to know about it. And do you know, confession is legitimate. It's in the scriptures. And there are times where you feel that those who are strong must bear with the failings of the weak, and therefore, because you find someone strong and someone is weak and the weak person confesses his sin, what is the expectation about the strong person? That he will bear the burdens of his brother, according to the book of Galatians. So understand, when I say Hebron, Hebron is a community place where if I'm in it, I am safe. I must find refuge. And in that refuge, even though I did some stuff, I don't get bogged down because everyone now knows about it. And then I shift into my shelter. And how many of you know, the moment you do that, your life is slowing down. Because now you come there and you feel everyone knows about me. Insecurity issues start developing in you. You'll start having all kinds of complexes in your life, all kinds of mindsets. You'll sit next to Annie and you'll be suspicious. Does Annie know what I did rather than? You'll sit next to someone else. You'll have this mindset, all kinds of things that will grip you. Come on now, help me someone. Amen? But when you are there and you're part of a community and you're aligned, man, you'll be so confident to even stand up and share your problem. Because you know everyone has your back. Are you getting what I'm saying? But listen, over the years, church has become a place of where people feel totally, totally stripped. They get wounded, they get hurt. Some of them even go back. Because what they thought was a place of safety now became a place of torture. But a Hebronic community, a people, a covenantal people, a wedding people, know that this is an environment where everyone's life can accelerate. Everyone's life can go faster. And sometimes there are things you want to confess because it's weighing you down. Yes. Becomes a burden on you. And you say, I have to tell someone. And the moment you tell someone and you find it in a safe place, come on now, the weight is off you. You can move up. You can move quicker and quicker and quicker in your life. So, Hebron is a safe city. Everyone say safe city. Okay, it's a place of refuge. But most importantly, you need to know in Psalms 46 verse 7, the Bible tells you the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, you need to understand that in its correct sense. When it says the Lord, the location is a place of refuge. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, when it says the God of Jacob, how many of you know at one time Jacob was an individual? Then he had 12 sons. That 12 sons became the nation of Israel. That nation of Israel became the new Israel. The new Israel is called the church. So when he says, he is the God of Jacob, the place of refuge, that means the church must become the place of refuge because they know the God of refuge. Because if you run to God as an individual over a time and you keep confessing your sins to God, you won't feel very, very light. Let me put it to you like that. But the moment you tell someone else who has the same kind of God nature, something happens to you. So, when we say the God of Jacob is our refuge, it doesn't say God is your refuge. There are verses that say God is my refuge and strength, but there's a definition. The God of Jacob is my refuge. The God of family. The God of a covenant community. The God of brothers and a father. In that family, man, I feel secure. Just take yourself out of your family and go live somewhere for a couple of weeks and check how you feel. Amen? Provided there's a normal family. Are we all together? So, the God of refuge is our safety. Can I do one more? Second Samuel chapter 2, verse number 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 1. David, by this time, Saul had died in battle. And David is inquiring from the Lord what he must do. Because he was in the stronghold, he was in the wilderness. He was on the run, he was living in caves. And so after he heard that his enemy had died, he asked the Lord, what must I do, Lord? And the Lord told him, go up to Hebron. The Bible will tell you in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 1. It happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up. And David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. How many of you know Hebron is always an upward movement? The word up is mentioned there 3 times. It is always an upward movement. Now, you see, Hebron is a place where you will shift out of the cave. You will shift out of the wilderness. You will shift out of strongholds. Hebron is a place of visibility. Hebron is a place of where you will be exposed. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way. Where you will be exposed. So when God is talking to David to go up, how many of you know it requires that you leave the cave? It requires that you leave the stronghold. It requires that you leave the wilderness and you go up. Because the cave to you is where you are hiding. The stronghold is where you are hiding. The wilderness is where you hide amongst the trees. God is saying to you, stop living amongst the Philistines now. Because your enemy is dead. The one that threw the javelin, the one that was seeking your life, is no more around. I want you to come up into a community place. I want you to come up into a place of oneness. I want you to make yourself visible. So many of you know you can be in church for 10 years and not know the person's name. Because the person chooses to live in a cave. He chooses to be in a stronghold. He chooses to live in a wilderness. He chooses never to fellowship with anyone. So you don't know whether he's Arthur, Martha, who he is. You don't know anything about that person. And I fight for those people. The quiet person is the one I fight for. The person that talks a lot, I don't have a problem because I know everything. But the person that's quiet, that's the person I get worried about. Because they choose to remain in a stronghold when the word is, come up. Come on, make yourself visible now. I'm going to anoint you as king. Okay? Come out. Come into a place of higher. Come up higher. And move into a location of oneness and community and alliances and covenantal relationships. Don't just be a member of the church. Come up. Begin to engage yourself in covenantal relationship with someone. Come up and plant yourself. Are you listening to me? Stop remaining a seed hidden in the ground. Come up. You received enough water. Let it grow now. You want to see the fruit on the tree. Come out of where you've been hiding. So, God said to him, listen, come up, go up to Hebron, go and show yourself. And the moment he did that, they anointed him king. Hello? The men of Judah together with their households. Now, you see, when you come up, don't leave your wife behind. Watch this here. Verse 2, David went up there and his two wives also. I won't read their names. And David brought up men who were with him, every man with his household, so they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Do you know he left no one, nothing, no resource behind? Yes. A lot of people can come up, leave the money behind. You can't enter a covenant community without your resource. That didn't go down too well, but you'll work it out. You can't enter a place called wellness and leave something else behind. Now, lots of people, you see, lots of people that enter with me and the principle of sonship, one of the main prerogatives I have with them is, you must come with your wife. When people come to visit me from other nations, I tell them, no, you don't ever come alone. You must come with your wife. I don't want you to grow and your wife is left behind, or I don't want your wife to grow and you are left behind. You must come up together. So, when I say in a covenant community, sometimes the husband is in it, but the wife is like watching Bold and Beautiful Days of Our Lives or something. Or it's the other way around. You have to be able to come up with everything. Don't leave anything behind. Don't leave your children behind. Don't leave your money behind. Don't leave anything behind. You've got to come up with everything. You entered this environment of Hebron. You've got to come up with everything. Why? Because in this environment, you're going to get something. You're going to get something called acceleration. The wedding feast. So, you got to come up with everything. Everyone say everything. Don't leave anything behind. Amen? So, what did you learn today? Number one, you got to learn about the appointed time. So if I want acceleration, I got to know the appointed time. Number two, I got to know the environment. I got to know that it's a covenant community of oneness, a place of associations, a place of covenantal relationships, a place of joinings. Not only joinings with the Father, but also joinings with your brothers and your sisters. A place of where the body is. I got to leave strongholds. I got to leave wildernesses. I got to make myself visible. I got to come out of hiding. I've got to show myself. Amen? So when a bride is arranged, don't stay at home. Come to the bride. Hello? Come out from the stronghold. When there's fellowship of the church, don't run away. Okay, I know we all have things to do. I can understand that. But from time to time, stay behind fellowship. Get to know some people. Get to know what's happening. What's happening around you. Because in that environment, the city of refuge is there for you. Listen, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I can be anywhere in the world. I'll fly back for the meeting. And even, I will always make sure my flights are in a Thursday afternoon. Why do I do those things? Because it's not so much about the revelation that I receive. It's just to be in the place of refuge. Amen. And let me tell you, a pastor can live a lonely life. Because he is listening to so many things every day. His brain is shattered with all kinds of stuff that he's listening to. If he doesn't have a safe environment, he'll go take a gun and shoot himself. Why do I do that? Because I found a place of Abrahamic relationships where I find safety. This word that I'm speaking to you comes out of deep, deep experience. Deep experience. And I saw in that community how your life can accelerate in the place of the wedding feast. Amen? Now, I'm going to give you more things next week, particularly about this location, because this is a very powerful location, because you can't get to Zion without Hebron. The place of rulership, dominion, the place of the scepter, the place of where favor is upon your life. You can't get it without Hebron. You have to go through Hebron. And every church has to go through that. Every church goes through Adullam, Hebron, and Zion. Every church has to go through that. And I want you to know we are positioning ourselves for Zion right now. In the spirit, I can feel it. I can sense it. Therefore, there are certain things I have to download into you as foundations in your life. So that as we position ourselves, greater and greater things will happen to you. Now, you need to get these tapes every week and listen to them a couple of times. Build it into your spirit. Keep speaking it. And I'm telling you, certain things are going to happen to you. Amen? You see, in a covenant community, you can only sing one song. You don't have to sing 10 songs. Because everyone is in the spirit of what? Oneness. And I'll show you how it matches with the New Testament. How it totally matches with the New Testament. And how certain things happened in a New Testament environment that brought tremendous acceleration to the lives of believers. Amen? God bless you.